Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. But this week, a happy development. All praise reports. Nothing must be sacrificed upon the holy altar of right thinking. First, we want to congratulate the United Nations on another fine annual meeting of the General Assembly. Of course, we are big fans of the United Nations for the simple reason that it brings representatives from the whole world together for the simple purpose of talking, listening, and then doing nothing. Our ideal model of government. Certainly, we cherish the way nations like Russia and China and Afghanistan can gather in New York City and lie to us all about everything while we still pretend they're respected members of the world community. But this year in particular, we have reason to celebrate the UN for its watershed movement toward gender justice, or, as Bolivian President Luis Arce labeled 2022, the year of the cultural revolution for depatriarchalization. Nothing that Bolivia wants to advance more than the policies that transform this regrettable reality that is caused by patriarchy as the most ancient system of oppression and that is also linked to colonialism and capitalism. In saying that, Arce spoke for us all. But beyond being brave in his content, Arce also did the world a service by inventing a new buzzword, depatriarchalization, a word that in its ineffably unpronounceable way asks us all to strive for the impossible. But this new word also embodies everything taught by Pritchard's third maxim of linguistic justice. The harder a word is to say, the more significant people will think it is. Only a term like this, with its elegant incoherence, can become a placeholder for an entirely new way of thinking about the post-deconstructionism that we 15th wave feminists live by. How do you bring down the patriarchy? With new words and pious chanting. Join with me now as we practice. This is what depatriarchalization looks like. This is what depatriarchalization looks like. Whose streets? Depatriarchalized streets! Whose streets? Depatriarchalized streets! New words truly are the pathway to the new world. All hail the new speak. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the thought leaders at the United States Air Force Academy, who recently had to woke-splain enlightenment to Senator Tom Cotton, a noted Neanderthal and backwardian, the Arkansas senator made inquiry about the policy of the academy to discourage assumptively gendered language by its cadets. As part of the vast re-educating from the officers on down, cadets have been guidanced to replace terms like boyfriend and girlfriend with the more inclusive and meaningless term partner, and to substitute caregiver for bigoted words like mom and dad. Since some cadets come from homes with single parents, grandparents, foster parents, dual moms, dual dads, and of course, parents who identify as children. Thus, they should strive to replace all cis-biased terms like you guys with more inclusive terminology like y'all, or team, or everyone, or squaddies. They were also told quite properly to stop saying they're colorblind and to instead say they are color conscious, and to stop using the word terrorist in all its forms. Although he is a champion of the closed-minded, we believe in his heart of hearts that even Senator Cotton understands that no one is a terrorist in his or her or their own mind. Well done, squaddies. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Oh, how we cry.
And finally, our favorite development of the week was watching the brave Virginia school children walk out in mass protest against the bathroom and pronoun oppression that Governor Youngkin is imposing on their trans peers by requiring teachers to inform parents of any student's request to use authentic pronouns and to prohibit trans kids from using the bathroom of their actual but not biological gender. But what is so amazing about this story is that every one of these protesting students will benefit from Virginia's new social engagement law, which allows them one excused absence per year for activism, demonstrations, marches, sit-ins, and attending tambourine trade shows. However, as much as we adore the idea of this law and what it does to teach students to obey the peer pressure of the mob around them, there are two corrective notes we want to offer our fine Virginia brethren, sistren, and others. First, it is surely not responsible to allow these young people to simply pick and choose any protest they like. Instead, they should be provided with an approved list of causes, dates, and events from which to select. After all, what if they decide to protest in favor of guns, or against reproductive rights, or, gasp, in support of voter ID laws? Look, we want them to protest, obviously, but only if they protest the right things. Second, we strongly disagree with the arbitrary limitation of only one protest day a year. Does injustice only happen on one day? How can you claim that civics is essential, but only essential enough for one day a year? Many protests require days or weeks to be effective, and surely there can be more than one cause worth missing school for in a year. Frankly, we believe it would be acceptable for students to protest every single day of the school year. Just think of the education that an entire year of missing school could accomplish. Perhaps these students would be unable to read or do math or know history, but they would acquire essential sign-waving and tear gas avoidance skills that most students can only dream of. We look forward to a time when Virginia and all the states recognize the real value of skipping school for a good dose of political theater. Woe unto all who offend. And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all.